You see, the answer now for the left is no police, no prison, no military. They just want to go to complete anarchy. We have a U.S. congresswoman pitching anarchy as a solution to what just happened, the tragedy in Minnesota. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish, and this is Rashida Tlaib. How do you like this? She says, quote, I am done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. She's referring to the police there. Rashida Tlaib, the U.S. Congresswoman, Democrat from Michigan, is saying she wants no more police. Well, this is what they've been saying all along, right? No police. I mean, Charles Barkley said it well when he said, who are we supposed to call? You know, when something goes wrong, is it Ghostbusters? I mean, let's talk about solutions, okay? That might actually be solutions, not just let's get rid of the police. The police actually are there to protect society. And you know what? I'm sorry, Rashida Tlaib, but you need them. You need them. And, you know, you have only to look at what happened recently in Minneapolis, Minnesota, your home turf, Ms. Congresswoman, to see how badly police were, in fact, needed. In fact, when the local government decided last summer that they didn't need the police anymore and they wanted to get rid of them, what did they do? These local lawmakers, on taxpayer dollars, hired private security guards. It cost taxpayers a lot of money, but you know what? These people weren't going without their security guards. No, no. They needed their own police. Believe me, they weren't going to let that go. It was just going to cost taxpayers that much more money in order for them to have them. I mean, this just doesn't make any sense. Okay, we all know that. You know that. I know that. I think she knows that. I think that, once again, we're just dealing with some really political animals, people that want to use situations to their own advantage. And this is a tragedy and it's awful. And, you know, the whole taser versus gun. I mean, my gosh, if you're on the police force 25 years and you're pulling the gun instead of the taser, what does it tell us about training? All right. That's actually a real issue that we should be talking about instead of let's just get rid of the police, which makes no sense. Or let's just get rid of prison again, which makes no sense. And no more military? Is that what this get rid of militarization is about? Come on. I mean, none of this is going to work, but it's part of their agenda. You got to understand their agenda, right? The agenda is that of a socialist nation in which government and government only is in charge. So what? She gets to handpick the police there in Minnesota? We'll see. But anyway, we're going to talk about the creep of socialism as we look at coast to coast from New York to California, what they are trying to do, whether it be with transgender prisoners or undocumented people that they want to give $15,000 a head to. This is out of control. I'm on it next. Out in California, out in the left coast, guess what? They have made a decision, effective earlier this year, that if you're transgender, you can request a prison change, right, to the appropriate gender. By the way, they're also offering taxpayer funds to help you with your operation if you're transgender. Anyway, apparently they've gotten the requests in, more than 200 now, and overwhelmingly, they're all for female prisons. Gee, I wonder why that would be. I have a feeling they're a little nicer, a little cleaner, and, well, probably just overall a whole lot better than the men's prisons. But anyway, it gets back to the insanity of all of this right now. The idea that taxpayers are paying for these operations so that people can get relocated because they believe, you know, that they're transgender and that they are another sex. Interestingly, it seems to only be working primarily in one direction in California right now in terms of what they want for prison reassignments. But the bulk of the requests have come in and they're like 99% wanting to go to female. Anyway, that's California. And then in New York, you've got a whole other thing going on where they're trying to give undocumented workers $15,600 a piece. Yeah, they've got a $2.1 billion fund for excluded workers. it's all part of their $212 billion budget deal that they reached about a week ago there in New York. And I mean, you want to talk crazy. You want to talk insane. This is a lot of money. $2.1 billion being carved out for undocumented workers, biggest aid program in the country, nearly triple the size of California's cash assistance program set up last year to give undocumented immigrants a $500 one-time payment on a first-come, first-served basis. You know what? I don't have a lot of use for California. I don't have a lot of use for Governor Newsom, but I'll give him this. At least if you're going to put a program forward like this, at least they were trying to do it at the time when people would need it, as opposed to when the economy was reopening, opening back up. And now you're like, okay, well, if you can prove that you're undocumented and you lost wages as a result of coronavirus, then we're going to give you $15,600. Again, that's a lot of money, especially for a state that does not have it. Right? But this is the way of the world these days. This is the reality that we live in, where we now have a budget deficit that has soared to an all-time high. And we're not even through the year. I mean, we're higher than we've ever been before. This trajectory simply cannot continue. And I keep pounding the table on this, and I'm going to keep hitting it over and over and over again, because I wish somebody in Washington would wake up and have a little bit of sense. All we've got really is Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary to Bill Clinton, who's trying to raise the alarm. But you know what? Even he's at risk. They're trying to cancel him out. So he's backtracking a little bit, saying, oh, you know, maybe it'll work out. Maybe it'll work out. It's not going to work out. You can't print this much money. You can't spend this much money and not have inflation, which is exactly what we're getting. There's a way to play it, though, as an investor. We're going to talk about that right after this. Really quick, I just want to remind everybody, if you have not subscribed to my private group on Facebook, please make sure you do. This is where we talk about some investing ideas. We talk about all the news that's really moving markets. We get into the nitty gritty of what it's all going to be in the future and how this market is going to shake out. I mean, if you heard me talk before, I do think that there is more upside potential here, but I say that with the understanding that you need to plan accordingly, because you got to watch that 10-year treasury, which I'm watching for you. If you subscribe to the group, you'll find out why it's so important. But watch those yields, because once those yields start to go up, you're going to start to see some rotation. But right now, you know what? It's all fine and dandy because Jerome Powell says he's going to keep printing money through 2024, right? I mean, so there's no reason, unless you have some kind of major, major break in the system, as in these dark pools of money that we've talked about before. If those are more problematic than we think, than we know of right now, then that could be something that turns into a systemic crisis. It's going to be a real disaster. And believe me, the Fed's not going to have any way to fight it, because you know what? They're spending it all that they don't have right now. I want you to think about what happened with CPI, the Consumer Price Index. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, no big deal. It's tame. I'm sorry. We're looking at the highest rate of inflation now since 2012, a gain of 2.6% on an annualized basis on the heels of 1.7% last month. That is not fine. That is not okay. And I've been harping on this number for a while now, for months, because what I've been telling you is that you want to hedge against it. And I've looked at gold, for example, because gold is one of those obvious hedges, right? And it really had been beaten down 9.5% in the first quarter. And, you know, this was after actually a pretty good year in 2020. But it lost a lot of that luster, shall we say, in the first part of this year. And so my thinking was, you know, when we start to get these inflationary numbers in, and they will be inflationary, you'd have to think that people will migrate into something like gold. I mean, Bitcoin has been another example. It's up 1,000% this year. Bitcoin, I love. I really, really like it. But it's starting to make me just a little bit unsettled, right? Because it's getting higher and higher in its valuation. It cannot really be used as a currency, obviously, right now. I mean, even though Elon Musk has pushed for it with, you know, you can now buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. The only problem is if your Bitcoin keeps going up in price, I mean, then the Tesla really starts getting to be expensive, right? More and more expensive, because suddenly your currency was worth like 30% the next week. So that's where it's challenging. And I suspect, I spoke with Steve Forbes, media media mogul Steve Forbes recently about this. And his point was that you need to have Bitcoin or cryptocurrency tied to some kind of asset. Right now, it's theoretically tied to the dollar, but he's saying it needs to be sort of rooted in something. Of course, the beauty of Bitcoin is that it's not really rooted in anything, right? It's rooted more in just, I think, public perception and confidence. But he'd like to see it, you know, really based, equated with something like a Swiss franc or some currency that's stable enough that you feel that there can't be massive swings one way or another. And then you can go and buy that Tesla and not worry that you're going to lose 30% of your money in the next week. Anyway, the obvious pick here really is gold. And I say that because, you know, historically, it's always been a good hedge against inflation. The other thing that you need to look at is some of the gold companies, because if you're in the miners, then you get the benefit of the overall economic swings, the business itself, I should say, in addition to the benefit of the commodity. So we have lots of ideas on there. We like to talk about them. Go to the Trish Regan private group on Facebook. You can talk directly with me. I talk directly with you. And, let's talk about making some money here in this market that is pretty crazy. But I think if you navigate it well and you have a sort of strong constitution about you and you diversify properly, then you will succeed. You want to be invested. Okay. You want to be invested in this market because with the inflationary pressures, it will result in higher asset prices. Higher asset prices are going to reward you in terms of your overall net worth. Anyway, great to have all of you here. As always, again, check out the Facebook private group page, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.